Great. All right, welcome everybody. We are at time and we have a full roster tonight. So I'm going to call to order this meeting of the Madison Plan Commission for May 12th, 2025. Director Tuttle, will you call the roll?
Alder Field?
Here.
Alder Glenn?
Here.
Alder Uguer? I see Alder Uguer here on the screen. Commissioner Heck?
Here.
Commissioner Mendez?
Here.
Commissioner McCahill?
Here.
Commissioner Sanders?
Here.
Commissioner Solheim is excused. Alternate Bazin is excused. Alternate Wesniewski?
Here.
Chair Gnom?
Here.
And School District Rep Soldner is excused.
All right, thank you. Just to confirm, alternate Wesniewski will be voting member of the commission tonight on all of our items. And we'll start with information from our technical facilitator. Thanks, Jesse.
All right, welcome to our virtual plan commission meeting. We're going to cover a few basic items before beginning. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. To members and city staff, members, if you are able, please activate your video and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Staff, if you are able, please activate your video when you are speaking. Use the raise hand feature when you'd like to be recognized to speak or ask questions. Staff, click raise hand when you are asked a question. The chair will do the best to call on committee members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of the queue. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. The clerk will tell you when your time is up. After all registrants speak, a member of the body may ask you a question. If you need to share documentation with the commission, please send it to the email listed in today's agenda. Chair, the floor is yours.
Thank you. So we will start with our first agenda item, which is public comment for items not on the formal agenda. Megan, do we have any registrants?
No, we do not.
Okay. All right. Thanks. We will go to disclosures and recusals. Members of the Plan Commission should make any required disclosures or recusals under the city's ethics code. Do any commissioners have items have disclosures or recusals related to anything on tonight's agenda? All right, seeing none, we will proceed to the minutes of our last meeting on April 28th, 2025. Did anyone have additions or corrections to the last meeting's minutes? All right, seeing no raised hands, could I ask for a motion and a second to approve the minutes? Alder Uguer, thank you. Commissioner Wesniewski, you got in there, so we'll give you the second on that. Any discussion on the pending motion? Seeing none, any objection to unanimous approval for our last meeting's minutes? Thank you. We will record those as approved. So we'll review our schedule of upcoming meetings. This month we have back-to-back, so we'll be back here again next Monday night at the same time for a virtual meeting. And then for June, we have our regular virtual meetings on the 9th and the 23rd, all at 5:30. We do have our special meeting on Monday, June 2nd. That will be at 5 o'clock. In person in room 215 of the Madison Municipal Building. So that'll be a time for us to talk about items that are not on an agenda, on a timeline, but to have broader discussions. And we'll, Megan and I have had some discussion about what'll go on that agenda, and maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that next week so we know what's coming up for the June 2nd meeting. But hopefully everybody can make it. I think it's a good chance. We see each other virtually pretty regularly, but it's nice to get a chance to be in person and just kind of have that 3D experience as well. So we'll see you then. So tonight we have new business, which is item 2, Legistar 87483, adopting the updated elected and appointed official code of ethical conduct. And I think I know we have a presenter from the Common Council to help walk us through that. And I was just going to confirm we're going to vote to adopt we're being asked to vote to adopt the updated code. Is that correct? Is that the requested action?
It's just before you for a recommendation. So whichever vote you choose.
Okay. So we would recommend, so the request would be to recommend approval or something to council, I guess, that's pretty normal for us. Thank you. I will turn over the floor to you, Ms. Kapusta Pofal, is that fair?
Yeah. Thank you. My name is Karen Kapusta Pofal. I'm the Common Council Chief of Staff. And I would like to share my screen. I'll try to keep the presentation brief since I believe you've had access to the attachments, including the presentation, the current code that's in effect, and the proposed updated as well. So let me first get this to work.
You can see. Okay.
Yep. Wonderful. Thank you very much. So I first wanted to provide folks with a quick reminder summary of the code of conduct that currently exists. So it was adopted by the council in January of 2023. There was a sexual harassment appendix adopted by the council in July of 24. It seeks to provide shared expectations and guidelines for elected and appointed officials, including members of city boards, commissions, and committees. And just as a reminder, all BCCs are required by resolution to put the existing adopted code on their agendas annually for discussion. And as an FYI, just to be clear, city staff are governed by administrative procedure memoranda, particularly relevant to this discussion are APM 3-5 and APM 2-33, in case some of you may wonder where we fit in all of this, where staff fits in all of this. Okay. So in brief, for those who have not had a chance to go over the policy. It provides expectations. The existing policy provides expectations for general conduct. It prohibits bullying, harassment, including sexual harassment, discrimination, encourages informal conflict resolution when feasible and appropriate, describes process for reporting and investigating sexual harassment complaints, and it outlines possible sanctions for violation. Again, elected and appointed officials. Specifically. Now, I'm here because, as your staff member mentioned, the council has referred this item to several committees because it does impact BCCs and would like to get your feedback. I have a discussion slide at the end with some questions that beyond a recommendation that our office is collecting and providing to alders for context as well for your feedback. So these are the committees that I will be going to, and you are committee number 2. So let me briefly, I'm not going to read all this, but I'll briefly go over what's in the proposed updated version. Again, they're both linked, so you have an opportunity to go into more detail if you'd like. There is additional general expected conduct language. Here are 3 examples of that. And again, you can always bring me back to a slide. I think I'd rather err on the side of brief, and then depending on what you need, I can go back to it or not. There is a new section called conduct towards city staff. Here's two examples of things that are in that section. conduct towards members of the public, conduct towards the media, some guidelines on representation of the individual versus the group, guidance on using point of order. As you know, point of order is part of Robert's rules. These updates or this proposal provides more detail in examples of when to use point of order or when one can use point of order if they feel that a potential violation of the conduct is occurring during a meeting. It has much more detail about conflict resolution and who to ask for assistance in cases when an informal process is appropriate. And then, and this is less perhaps relevant for the committees, but for your awareness, there's a detail of a process for censure, council censure of an alder. Currently, a censure resolution is treated the same as any other resolution. An alder can introduce it. It gets voted on by simple majority, and they move forward. This provides for more of a hearing type process and some additional requirements. And then I have some discussion questions for you. And of course, you are free to discuss however you like. But if you'd like to weigh in on any of these questions, like I said, we're collecting everybody's feedback from all of the committees that we are visiting. And that's the short version. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone on the commission have questions for Karen or feedback? Karen, thank you for the really clear deck and presentation. It was helpful to have the changes highlighted and share those with us. Alder Figueroa Cole.
I'm sorry, I don't know if I missed if Karen provided information on how to email any feedback if you guys want to do that in the future.
Thank you. Is that with your email address, Karen? Was that helpful?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Go ahead and email the feedback to me. Thank you.
I think we can do that. I guess I don't know that we have to, but I think we could make a motion to recommend approval to council from this commission if anyone wants to do that. We could also recommend referral to future meeting or something or tabling. But I think, Megan, I'm sort of waiting for you to nod. But I think that's I think that ideally we would do that.
And I'll let Karen speak to you any more if there's any more detail, I should say, about the recommendation for this body. Because this is an ordinance change, it will be within the purview of council to adopt any changes to that ordinance. But this is being referred to you and other boards and commissions for your input as they consider this. I believe this will be on the council's radar for adoption in August. Is that right, Karen? So there is some time if you had any more questions or comments that you wanted to discuss with Karen or feedback that you wanted to send to her for the council's attention. But yes, like other ordinance changes that are referred to the Plan Commission, you are in a position of making an advisory recommendation to the Common Council. So that could include a recommendation to approve, a recommendation not to approve, or sending comments as well.
Alder Figueroa Cole. Oh, all right. That might have just been a leftover. Alder Field.
Yep. Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to chime in and say that I've been participating in some of the discussions that led to this draft. They began back in the winter, and that's kind of led to what we see before us today. But I just wanted to offer for members who are interested in digging into the details a little bit, let me know if you'd like to chat reach out. We can talk through if you're not sure if you have feedback yet or what would apply, for example. And I'm happy to help with that process and then help get feedback to Karen. But wanted to offer some background on that too and say that I'm happy to help. Thanks.
Thank you. Alder Duncan.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to comment. So I was actually the alder that had referred this code of conduct to all of the commissions to get input. One of the reasons that I thought it was important is all commissioners, all people on BCCs and alders, we are going to have to abide by this. And I wanted to make sure that everyone had a chance and an opportunity to look at what is currently in the Code of Ethical Conduct, but also seeing if there's anything that we as alders potentially did not include that maybe you all feel should be part of the Code of Ethical Conduct or things that should be removed. And so that was one of the reasons why I wanted to make sure that people had their voices heard before we do have that conversation in August and possibly going into September, not knowing what potentially will come back to the council, but I just wanted to give that information to you all.
Thanks. Megan.
Just a quick correction, and thank you to Karen. This is actually a resolution that would update a policy. It's not an ordinance change. So the recommendation, though, would still be for the Common Council's consideration of approving this resolution.
Great. Alder Yeager.
Yes, I'd like to move that we recommend adoption of this to the Common Council.
Thank you. Commissioner Heck, second. Thank you. Additional discussion, and maybe I would add that we can recommend adoption, and I think we could still provide feedback to the city staff between now and August, both as members of the community and as commissioners on this commission. So it doesn't foreclose any further discussion if we recommend adoption. Any other discussion from the commission? Seeing none, any objection to unanimous approval for Alder Yeager's motion? All right, thank you. Thanks for coming in and walking us through that. I appreciate it. And for all the behind the scenes work that folks on this call have undertaken here. So appreciate it. We will move to our consent agenda. And it's been the custom of the Plan Commission to remove from the agenda items on which staff members believe an application has been sufficiently reviewed to support approval with all the conditions placed upon it by various city departments, and in which the applicant accepts those conditions, and there are no individuals who have registered to speak in opposition to those items. And so the items proposed for our consent agenda tonight are on our agenda as items 4, 6, 7, and 8. Those would be for approval. And items 9 and 10 would be for referral to our June 23rd meeting at the applicant's request. Are there any requests for separation of any of the consent agenda items that we've read? All right, I don't see any hands, so I'm going to... yes, thanks.
I can't find my raised hand while I'm sharing my screen.
Okay.
I just wanted to note for all of the commission that we did have a project representative inadvertently register under item 2. Just so that you're aware, we do have Jim Turnus representing Strand Associates, who is registered and supported and available to answer questions under agenda item number 6, which is an item that's recommended for the consent agenda. So just wanted to make sure you were aware.
So we could separate that out if we had questions for Jim. Any thoughts on any thoughts that any of these items should be pulled off consent? And I don't see any other hands, even with that additional clarification. So I will go ahead and read the consent items into the record for the meeting. So the first item for consent is item 4, Legistar 87799, relating to 901 East Washington Avenue, which is in Alder District 6. This is for consideration of a conditional use in the traditional employment district for a restaurant nightclub to allow an existing restaurant tavern to offer live entertainment inside and on an existing outdoor patio. Item 6 is Legistar 87843, and that is creating section 28.022-00714 of the Madison General Ordinances to change the zoning of property located at 910 West Winger Drive and 1347 Fish Hatchery Road from PD, Plan Development, and TR-V1, Traditional Residential Varied 1 Districts, to CC-T, Commercial Corridor Transitional District, and this is in Alder District 13. Items 7 and 8 are related. Item 7 is Legistar number 87470, relating to 345 West Main Street in Alder District 4. This is consideration of a demolition permit to demolish a 44-unit assisted living facility. And then item 8 is Legistar 87598, creating section 28022-00710 of Madison General Ordinances to change the zoning of property located at 333 to 345 West Main Street, 110 South Henry Street, and 334 West Doty Street from PD, Plan Development District, to amended PD, GDP, Plan Development-General Development Plan District, and creating Madison General Ordinance Section 28.022-00711 to approve a specific implementation plan. And again, this is in Alder District 4. The items for referral are item 9, Legistar 87841, creating section 28.022-00712 of the Madison General Ordinances to change the zoning of property located at 1970 through 1978 University Bay Drive from CN Conservancy District to PR Parks and Recreation District, and that's in Alder District 5. Item 10 is Legistar 87657, and that relates to 1970 through 1978 University Bay Drive in District 5. Consideration of a conditional use permit to MGO Section 28.138 for construction within 300 feet of the ordinary high water mark of Lake Mendota to allow construction of a one-story 11,500 square foot visitor center for the Lakeshore Nature Preserve on the University of Wisconsin-Madison campus. So I will open the public hearing and close the public hearing for the consent agenda, and we'll move to a vote. Is there a motion and second to approve the consent agenda? Alder Field, thank you. And Commissioner Heck, thank you for the motion and second. Is there any objection to unanimous approval for our consent agenda tonight? And seeing no raised hands, we'll record that as passed unanimously. Great. And that will bring us to our regular agenda items. We have a couple of those. First one is agenda item 3, which is Legistar number 87658. Relating to 305 Bear Claw Way and 9453 Spirit Street in Alder District 9. And this is consideration of a conditional use in the suburban residential varied SRB2 districts for a residential building complex containing 21 apartments and 2 buildings. So we will hear from planning staff. I think Claire McNabola is here. I'm going to practice the new standard of naming people by their last name. So it'll be a little uncomfortable and we'll get used to it. Great. Thanks, Lisa. Welcome.
Fair.
Yeah, so the applicant is proposing to build a 9-unit apartment building and a 12-unit apartment building at 9453 Spirit Street. And they are proposing one garage parking stall per unit and then 9 surface stalls spread across the site for a total of 30 parking stalls. And there is also an open space to the south of the 9-unit apartment building that faces Bear Claw Way. And it's just west of the parking area, so kind of in the southwest corner of the site. At their April 30th, 2025 meeting, the UDC recommended 3 conditions of approval, including a condition that recommends removing the 4 parking stalls that are adjacent to that open space, as long as the stalls are not required to meet the minimum parking requirements in the zoning code. So as proposed, the parking complies with the zoning code, although it does exceed the 21 minimum stalls that are required. It does not exceed the maximum number of stalls that are allowed per the zoning code. And then just to provide a little bit more information, the current plans have a parking ratio of 1.4, which is lower than the previously approved project on this site, which was a 15-unit development that had a 2.0 parking ratio. But that project didn't have any surface stalls, and those were all garage stalls for those units. So like I said, the additional stalls are adjacent to an open space area, and there are supplemental regulations for residential building complexes. And one of those supplemental regulations, which is Regulation A, allows the Plan Commission to require recreational areas to serve the needs of the population of the residential building complex. And, you know, removing the stalls would allow for that open space area to be larger. The applicant has noted that they would prefer to keep the 4 parking stalls. So staff just want to note that, you know, UDC is an advisory body to the Plan Commission for this request, and the Plan Commission may choose to remove, modify, or approve the recommended conditions of approval. And the Plan Commission would need to find that the recommended conditions from UDC meet the conditional use approval standards. So the staff report refers specifically to Standard 5 as it relates to the parking supply for the project, and then also Standard 6 as it relates to compliance with supplemental regulations, and then specifically Supplemental Regulation A. So the Planning Division believes that the conditional use approval standards can be found met, subject to the recommended conditions of approval. And per the applicant's request, we do ask that special consideration be given to recommended condition of approval number 2 from the UDC. Thanks.
Thanks, Lisa. We have registrants for this item, so we'll open the public hearing. To be fair to everyone, each registrant will have 3 minutes to speak, and we'll try to interrupt briefly to give you a warning when you're close to the time limit. So Megan, would you call on the registrants who are wishing to speak?
Our first registrant is Kevin Burrow, representing KBA Architects and the applicant team. Kevin is registered in support and wishing to speak.
Great, thanks.
Good evening. This is Kevin Burrow with Knuth & Bruce Architects. I will do a brief presentation, but Lisa McNabola did a great summary as well in regards to why we are before you tonight. To discuss condition number 2 from the Urban Design Commission. If you could, as you can see on your screen here, the proposed development is located in the center of the site, and this property is located directly north of Mineral Point Road, which is just off the page here. So this is the last piece of development filling in this area. And what was previously approved about a year ago was a series of 4 different structures, 3 4-units and a 3-unit, totaling 15 units, But working with our client and also feedback from the city, we were asked to try and improve the efficiency of the site and provide additional housing units if possible. So with this solution, we are now up to 21 units in just two buildings. If you go to the next slide, please. You can see our site layout here where we have just one driveway access off of Spirit Street. And each of these units do have a single car garage available to them. But these are all two-bedroom units. I should say 85% two-bedroom units and just three one-bedroom plus den units. So these are our larger units, and we do feel that the additional parking on the surface is appropriate at just a small 1.4 ratio per unit. And the green space that Lisa McNabola highlighted is in the southern western corner there, as you can see. And this, the four parking stalls in question are directly to the northeast of that. If you go to the next slide, please. You can see on our landscaping plan here that we have actually screened off that outdoor play area as a request by UDC to provide a nice gathering space. And we feel that these additional four stalls would really not render much more additional green space given the location of the transformer and the sidewalk areas, such that we do respect their recommendation, but we also request that those be kept included as part of this development. You go to the next slide, please. These floor plans show a rather unique solution here where we have single car garages with direct access to all units. There's no central corridor or elevator within this building, so you are able to access your unit from your single car garage. There's also a direct entry door from the exterior for any visitors or if you wish to leave unit and go for a walk per se. So again, it's a mixture of mainly two bedroom units with just a handful of one bedroom plus dens. Next slide, please.
We've got 30 seconds left.
Thank you. The renderings show how you can have the green space shown off to the right here that is still available, and the direct entry aspects of all the units. Every unit does have their own private patio or balcony space. Can you go to the next slide, please? Here's a view looking at the end of one of the units where you can see the direct entry opportunity. Next slide, please. And here's the view looking at the parking area and access to the driveways. Next slide, please. And then here's a view looking at the front areas along Spirit Street. Last slide. Here you can see the back area where you can see the parking just in the background. But again, we feel that there is more green space provided in this solution than the previous solution, and we request to keep those stalls. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, our next speaker is Ryan McMurtry. I believe may also be with the applicant team registered in support and wishing to speak.
Good evening.
All right, I think you're unmuted. We can hear you. Yep.
Oh, perfect. Well, Lisa and Kevin already did an incredible job summarizing the project, so I'll be extremely brief. As Kevin already stated, this is we've already done quite a few different phases out here, and this is a decent drive off of the isthmus. So most of our residents continue to drive to get around, as it's a great neighborhood, but it's not extremely walkable. And given the mix of the units, which has already been stated, but I'll state it one more time, of the 21 units, 86% are two-bedroom units, and the remaining three units are one-bedroom, one-bath den units. So there are no efficiencies and no true one-bedroom units comprising this proposal. So we feel it's important that we preserve those extra stalls. And as Kevin already stated, we feel that what we're giving, which is a small amount of green space to serve our residents, and it doesn't negatively impact the green space that remains in the southwest portion of the site. So in conclusion, I really appreciate all of your time and simply ask that the condition for the elimination of those four stalls be eliminated so we can hit the desired ratios. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, our last speaker is Lisa Ruth Kruger, who has registered neither support nor opposition and not wishing to speak this evening.
Thank you. Does anyone on the commission have questions for our registrants? Commissioner Heck.
Thank you. This is for the development team. I'll probably ask Lisa McNabola about this also, but Can you describe what the potential is, as far as you know, for street parking for your residents in the adjacent blocks?
Are you asking the team to respond first?
Yes.
Yes. I'll get Lisa's perspective too, but I thought I'd make sure that you were aware of what it might be.
These are new streets that are being constructed. Spirit Street currently does not exist in this exact area here. So that is under development with the city. I believe there will be potential street parking available, but we do not have the final plans.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Commissioner Heck. Other questions? Alder Field.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, for the applicant team, when deciding a parking ratio that you're aiming for on a property, do you consider the proximity to transit or the frequency of that transit line? Is that part of the math that you all use when aiming for a ratio?
That's a great question, and yes, it is. If we're located directly on a bus line, that has a major impact on connectivity to the city for residents. But in these more suburban, remote locations, we actually strive to achieve around a 1.75 ratio for parking in order for the residents to realistically be able to accommodate their vehicles without occupying all the streets in the area.
That answers my question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Alder Yeager.
Sort of a related question. This is for the development team. And thank you, Chair. I think I can guess how this works looking at the plans, but where will drop off, pick up, garbage collection, where will that work? Will that be in the interior road space?
As far as drop off goes, yes. We have those 9 interior stalls, one of which is an ADA accessible stall. So it is assumed that any visitors and or guests or people being dropped off would pull into the site, park in one of those stalls, and be able to drop off or pick up anybody. As far as trash collection goes, these are really townhome units, given there's no central corridor. So every unit will have their own recycling bin and trash bin, and it'll be the tenant's responsibility to roll it out to the street, as occurs immediately adjacent to the west in the row house development that has recently completed construction. So trash pickup vehicles will not come on site. It'll just be simply collected as the city does throughout the rest.
And package delivery?
Package delivery would also have the opportunity to either park interior in one of the vacant stalls, or they could temporarily park along the street, as they do need to walk up to each unit, as there's no central mail collection area.
Thank you. No further questions.
Thank you.
Commissioner McCahill.
Thanks. I also have a question for the development team. The last slide in the deck showed a vehicle parked in front of the garage door. So, you know, you could imagine that someone might have a car parked in the garage and then a second car parked in front. Just to clarify, that would not be counted in the total 30 spaces that we're seeing, right?
That is correct.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Alder Pritchett, I see your actual hand. Go ahead. There you go.
Okay, given that there's a rule for large item pickups for trash, for garbage, 1 to 9 units, how will this work with for those individuals who perhaps have a large queen-size mattress or king-size mattress? What are they supposed to do? Will they have to have services that they pay for to pick that up? Or will there be other provisions made for them?
I will attempt to answer this first, and perhaps Ryan might need to step in. But as my understanding, the policy with the City of Madison, as a City of Madison resident, which these tenants will be, they can call for a special pickup and place their items at the curb. But given that our client owns all of this adjacent property, There could be potential for an arrangement made with the management company for large item pickup via one of the larger apartment buildings that are nearby.
And then the last question, going back to something that was raised by Alder Thiel regarding transportation. The units are located right off of Mineral Point Road, and there is a junction. No, there is, what's the name of that? South, it is South Junction Road, where the BRT begins. And so and it's really not a walkable, a walk to get there. They will have to drive to get to the Junction Road a transport area. And so I don't know how many people, you know, I went out there deliberately to kind of see, you know, what they would have available as far as transportation. Transportation is available, but I can tell you right now where they are located, they will have to walk at least a mile to get to the Junction Road BRT. But within that entire development there are no other bus services.
Thanks, Alder Pritchett. Absent other questions, any other questions before we close the public hearing? All right, seeing none, we'll close the public hearing and ask if the commission have questions for staff. Commissioner Heck, thanks.
Thank you. Chair, a quick question. Since Lisa Macnabola has already been introduced, I can call her Lisa now, right?
So I should go back and check the text, but I believe that I'm the only one who has to follow that rule. So
okay.
I think all you right. can still call her Lisa if you want to.
Okay, yeah. I think it said something about upon first introduction. Or
yes,
something.
Yes.
Okay. And Lisa, if you don't mind, I'll be informal. what do you know about the street parking situation in this area?
Yeah, so based on the publicly available map of like street parking, it does show that parking is restricted on Bear Claw Way. This is meant to be kind of like a major thoroughfare, right? Well, not major thoroughfare, but a busier street through this neighborhood. So there's no street parking there, but Spirit Street, per the map, does show that street parking is allowed.
And would that be on both sides of the street, likely?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. And then Alder Pritchett brought up a good point that I was thinking about, too, about trash, about large item trash collection, since I live in a building that no longer is able to have that service. Mm-hmm. Is it your impression that these will be treated as individual units, or they'll be treated together, therefore subject to the relatively new regulations about no a large item pickup?
Unfortunately, I am not sure how that policy would be applied.
Okay.
We could try to see if we could find it online, maybe. It looks like...
Well, given that the applicant said that they'd figure it out one way or the other, it's not that important, but it's a huge inconvenience for me in my building. So I just want to make sure they're aware of what the situation might be, but I don't think that's necessarily going to impact what we're considering tonight, given their comments. Thanks.
Yeah, we'll try to have that ready for future projects too.
Any other questions for staff? Or are we ready to move for a motion on this item? Move toward a motion on this item. Alder Uyghur, thank you.
I'm ready to make a motion if that's in order.
Yes. I believe it is. Yeah.
I move that the Plan Commission finds that the approval standards for conditional uses are met and approve the request to construct a residential building complex in the suburban residential variant SRV2 district at 9453 Spirit Street, subject to the conditions recommended by the reviewing agencies, with the exception of the recommendation for removal of the intended four parking stalls.
Thanks, Alder Uguir. Alder Field, is that a second? Thank you. Discussion on the motion? All right, seeing none. Alder Field, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I'll be brief. I'm not one to go out on a limb for parking, but the first thing I did when considering this question is look at Google Maps to see how long one would have to walk to get to the every 30 minutes service at Old Skin Heartland Trail, and it's nearly a mile and a half. I think this is an area where we wouldn't want to go out of our way to be capping parking by condition rather than policy. So I just want to be thoughtful of that and respect the math that the development team put into their targeted parking ratio.
Thanks, Alder Field. Other discussion? I think these are all good points, and yeah. Alder Glenn.
Yeah, I was reading through that when we were talking about parking too, and Metro did write that the proposed development is outside of Metro Transit and Paratransit service area. The closest bus stop is scheduled. Bus service is over 1.5 miles walking distance. So I agree with Alder Fields on the parking.
Thank you. Any other discussion? I'll call for a vote. Is there any objection to unanimous approval for the motion made on the table, which is to keep the parking stalls as suggested by the design team? All right. Seeing no objection, we'll record this motion as passed unanimously. Thank you. Thanks for the good discussion. All right. We have one additional agenda item, and that is item 5 on our agenda. It's Legistar 87842. This would create section 28.022-00713 of Madison General Ordinances to change the zoning of property located at 3821 Nakoma Road from PD, Plan Development District, to LMX, Limited Mixed Use District. And this is in Alder District 10. And so this, while Planner McNabola is here, we kind of thought on this one that the staff report was fairly clear, and we would just go right into the public hearing on this item, if that's all right with everybody. So we will call on registrants, Megan, if you would do that, and we'll stick to our 3 minutes.
Okay. Our speaker is Charlene Orsted on Manitow Way, neither supporting nor opposing and wishing to speak.
All right. Welcome. Charlene, I think your mic is unmuted.
Thank you. Thanks so much for this opportunity. I was hoping to learn a little bit more about the current zoning and how long it has been in place. I've lived at my current property for 29 years, and to my knowledge, it's been the same and working fine for the past 29 years. And what would the reasons be for needing to make the zoning change? And how did the change request, how is that originated? Who originated the request? And what would the added benefits be to the owner for the zoning change being made? So at the moment, I'm not in favor or not in favor of the change. I'm trying to understand more about why the changes is needed at this time, and what the benefits are. So, for example, will the change allow for an increased amount of commercial space being allowed to be developed on the property, or an increased parking lot size, or add and run a new commercial business from the property? I'm trying to understand why, the reasons for this, and how the change will, what the impact of change would be.
Thanks. I think in our format, there will be a chance for commissioners to ask staff questions once we close the public hearing. And I think if now that we know what your questions are, I think we could close the public hearing and then take an opportunity to follow up on those questions, if that's all right. Does that sound okay with you?
That sounds wonderful. Yes, thank you.
Yep. Thanks, Charlene. Thanks for coming out. Is that Megan? Are there other registrants?
The only other registrant is Brad Bowden, who is the applicant, registered in support but available to answer questions.
Thank you. Thanks, Megan. Are there any questions for the registrants while we're in our public hearing? Alder Figueroa Cole, thank you.
Thank you. This is for the applicant, if he's inclined to share some of his motivation with the person that call in, then staff can explain the zoning changes later.
Thank you.
Yes. Can you guys hear me?
We can. Yes. Oh,
hey. Yes.
Yep.
Yes. I was the one who initiated the discussion, and it was partially to just get up to speed, as as Charlene had pointed out, it has been in place actually for 46 years as a PD, and the wording in the PD really is not up to speed for today's world. It requires that if I rent, or just for a context, it's a two-story building. On the first floor is a professional office, and the second floor is a three-bedroom apartment unit. And it requires that I rent to a family with not more than two children, to one or two single people working. So just some of the terminology from 1979 doesn't equate to today. And in talking with staff, the LMX seems to be encouraged in the future design because of the specificity of this. I have no intention of changing or doing any additional development. And I'll let the staff speak to what the LMX allows for additional development, but I have no intention of doing that. It's really just to bring it up to speed, or bring it up to today's standards with the LMX as an encouraged version, I believe. I don't want to misstate what the staff has said, so I'll let them speak to that.
Thank you. That's really what I was looking for. Thank you so much.
Yep. Thanks, Brad. Thanks, Alder, for your real call. Other questions for registrants? All right. We will then close the public hearing, and I'll ask if the commission have questions for staff. Commissioner Wisniewski.
Since this is in my district, I figure I'll be the one to ask Lisa if you could just help clarify what the LMX zoning is, to help answer the registrant's question.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, you know, the LMX district was really intended to provide a kind of transition for small scale, like mixed use buildings in residential neighborhoods, kind of summarizes like the statement of purpose for that. So, you know, admittedly, it's not like our most commonly used zoning district, but per the staff report, you know, staff feel like this is kind of an appropriate use of that zoning district given the existing use of the building and its location within the neighborhood. You know, in general, looking at the use list, you know, it's probably closest to like our neighborhood mixed use zoning district in terms of the kind of uses, but it is even more restricted. So some of the uses that are allowed in NMX are not allowed in this district, or where they're permitted in the neighborhood mixed-use district. They're conditional in the limited mixed-use district. I can offer more details, but that would be kind of an overview.
One thing I would just note in addition to that, because the speaker did specifically ask about things like how big development can be on the site, in just quickly looking at the requirements for the limited mixed use district, it is a pretty restrictive district in terms of the amount of development. It's limited to 2 stories, maximum building size of 5,000 square feet. Although there are some allowances for considering larger buildings under a conditional use standard. And really, some of the standards try to reflect the adjacent development intensity of neighboring residential buildings. So as planner Colin Punt, who reviewed this rezoning request, said, the LMX district, this building, this existing building, is really kind of like classically what the LMX district would be intended for, these small commercial buildings in residential areas. And as the applicant stated, would allow us to apply other standards within our zoning code to this property in its operation that in ways that are more up to speed with our policy goals than the standards in the PD zoning that were written several decades ago.
I just would note the registrant also just made a reference to parking. Are there any parking standards in LMX that would be relevant or different?
Parking is usually based on the use type, but I would have to take a closer look at the code. And also,
there are some standards related to parking placement, not being allowed to be placed between the street and the front of a building in this district. Again, without changing a lot of what's happening on the site, I think some of this would be not necessarily be relevant. So.
Yeah, no, thank you. Commissioner Heck.
Thank you. A question for Lisa. Lisa, the neighbor who gave public comment was interested to know if the current owner is interested in perhaps having a different type of commercial tenant rather than who's there now. And I assume there's a raft of permitted and conditional uses that are allowable in LMX. So even if they don't intend to do it now, you never know. In the future, I assume there are quite a few different types of uses that would be allowable in LMX.
Yes.
Or is it restrictive because of the description of the district, more restrictive than most zoning districts?
Yeah, I would say of all of the like mixed use and commercial districts we have, so that includes like limited mixed use, neighborhood mixed use, to our traditional shopping street, you know, all the way to RMX, that this is definitely the most restrictive of those in terms of like the types of uses that are allowed, with them either being, you know, just not allowed or conditional use approval being required.
So it's likely to be some kind of an office space as it is now.
Yeah, I mean, those are permitted. I guess I can't speak to, you know, all of the potential outcomes, but office uses are permitted, something like a physical therapy maybe, or just like a bank technically would be, general retail, like a small kind of neighborhood, you know. So I guess things you would maybe expect to see in like a more limited, you know, like lower impact, those kinds of uses.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Are we ready for a motion on this item? Alder Yeager.
I'll move that the Plan Commission forward the zoning map amendment from PD to LMX to the Common Council with a recommendation to approve, noting that this request is for rezoning only without any changes to use or structure.
Thanks, Holly Gare. Commissioner Wisniewski.
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion on this item? Alder Field.
Thank you, Chair. Briefly, I'm excited to see moving away from another PD and retiring a PD zoning document. They are not as transparent or publicly available, so it's harder to understand what owners can and can't do with their property for other people to understand, as well as they themselves, what they themselves can do with their property. So the conventional zoning districts are widely available and pretty well understood, and it's great to be moving this into a standardized zoning district.
Thanks for your comment. Other discussion? All right. Seeing none, is there any objection to unanimous approval for this motion? And seeing none, we'll record it as passed unanimously. Thank you. Thanks for the discussion. So those are our open agenda items. We now have time for member announcements, communications, and business items. And I was just going to share Director Tuttle and Alder Field and I spent the Friday before last with some of the leadership of the Madison Metropolitan School District on a school bus. So kind of our first time on a school bus for some of us for a really long time. And we got to go visit some of the newer, pretty intensive developments on the both the east side and the far west side, and look at some of the property that the MMSD has acquired. And I think when we meet on June 2nd, I think we wanted to have a little bit more of a reflection on what we did and saw and learned and how we think that might impact our work going forward. But I wanted to share that with the group at our during this time in the meeting, and more to come on that. Does anybody else have announcements or communications to share? And if not, we can move to the secretary's report.
All right. Thank you, Chair. As far as upcoming matters for your next few meetings, I want to flag just a couple of items. For your meeting on May 19th, a major item of discussion will be Legistar item 87879, which is 4506 to 4514 Verona Road. That meeting is next week, so we do anticipate that the staff report will be up in the next couple of days for that item. But plans should be available if you want to start taking a look at that. On your June 9th agenda, I also wanted to note a few projects, including the project at Meadow Lane, Jupiter Drive, and Milwaukee, as items that will probably be bigger staff reports for your review for that meeting. For the June 9th meeting, we also have a longer list of zoning code changes that will be on your agenda. These are items that came forward from staff as relatively straightforward amendments that address questions about the ordinance's application that have come up to us in recent months. So just want to flag those for you if you want to take a look at those in advance. We do expect that there will be some other ordinance amendments making their way to your future agendas this summer, but these items are originating from staff. And then, as the chair noted, we do have a special meeting on the 2nd. We are currently anticipating a couple of topics that include other agencies, including some updates from our assistant city attorney, Kate Smith, who typically works with us, just with any updates on a legal framework for the work that you do, and case law updates that might be applicable to things that you've seen. So if you have any specific questions about anything that you would like for us to send on to Kate Smith in advance of that presentation, please let us know. And we're working on a couple of other presentations from other staff as well. And then one item I wanted to note, I think most of you probably know this, but in case you don't, the city has a new housing policy committee. This replaces two of our former housing-related committees.
And we'll actually be having its first meeting on May 22nd. I'd anticipate that this will be an introduction for the members and some high-level overview of some of the work that they will be doing, but just wanted to put that on your radar in case you're interested in tuning into that meeting. It's on the 22nd at 4:30 p.m. And that's all for me, Chair.
Thanks, Megan. Any questions on the Secretary's report? All right. Seeing none, I think we can move to adjourn. If there's a motion and a second to adjourn, Alder Glenn, thank you. And Alder Field, thank you. Any objection to unanimous approval for this motion? Seeing none, we'll stand adjourned. Thanks, everybody, for your participation tonight, and we'll see you in 1 week.
Thank you all.
Thanks.